Good morning. I enjoyed watching this show on Hulu. It's called The Parent Test. And before we get too carried away, this is not a sermon about parenting. I'm pretty self-aware enough to know I don't have the grounds to speak on that yet. Or marriage, for that matter. I think I still need 5 years, probably. But there's this show, and well, with that being said, I really enjoyed this show because it examines different styles of parenting, and I could watch it and just judge all of them because that's not what I would have done. Like, but yeah, it's a really good show, sort of. They look at different styles of parenting, and there's probably about 20 different styles, and I think what it mostly is getting at is that they stick to that one style more than anything else. But I imagine as parents, you parents out there, you don't stick to one style of parenting. You involve many things to raise your children. So it was kind of contradictory in that way. But the goal of the show was to examine the styles and choose the best type of parenting, or at least learn lessons from your own parenting that you could fix. So there was some interesting ones that you can tell like what type of kids they're going to grow up to be. But the one that kind of stood out to me the most was this father and son that I have up there, and they were the high achievement style of parenting. And I think it stood out the most because this kid was sort of a genius. He spoke like 6 different languages at 12 years old or whatever, however old he was. And he just seemed like a decent kid, but very, very smart. But it got me to thinking about achievement and how much that's pushed in our world, and how much we can put our focus on making achievements, striving for achievements, instead of striving for our character. And so as Dan read, we'll talk about that verse a little later, but we have 2 things I think we're balancing in life. And while we develop a lot of our character as children, we can still push, or we can still learn and grow and change our character, or grow and strengthen our character so that it fits God's standard, even while we're growing up, or as we're getting older. Some of my favorite shows have the best character arcs. And what that means is there's a character in the beginning of the show or movie or book that you don't really like them because of their character. They have, you know, whatever reason, maybe they're arrogant or they're dumb or make silly mistakes or, you know, any character flaw that they might have. But then over time, they go through trials or they go through adventures and they're challenged, and because of those challenges, they change their character and they arc into a character that you root for, and by the end of the show, you're cheering them on and they're your favorite character. So we, no matter how old you are, we have the opportunity to focus on our character over achievements. And like I said, the world likes high achievers. They're the people that we see in the news all the time, and there's praises for different types of people. But it starts out, I think, in school, especially with grades. And I'll say this as a formality. None of these things I'm about to list are bad to accomplish, but it's the obsession and the commitment to it that takes away from ourselves as our Christians or as our character. So we start with school. We're placed with grades that they value our success. And so that kind of, although it's necessary to meet a standard, it kind of puts in your mind that I'm only as good as these grades, or at least it can start to put that in your mind. The world likes athletes and artists and performers who dedicate so much of their time to develop their craft, and we praise them for that because they've done it while we can't. There's the pressure to attend colleges or further schooling because we want to see those people achieve a great career or some great job. We want to see inventions being made. We want people to cure cancer. There's many things that, many pressures put on people to succeed in the world and have worldly success. And then one that's really weighing heavy on me right now is applications, whether it be for jobs or schools. Let me tell you, there's nothing more humbling than when I got to the achievement parts of the application I'm currently filling out, and it says, please list any achievements, awards, honors, scholarships that you have received. And I just kind of look at it like, ooh. And they actually have a box that says, I'm not listing any achievements. And so I had to click that because I can't relate. I haven't really had those achievements, but kudos to those people who did. And I've never had to hire anyone, but if any of y'all have, I don't know, at least me, I would look at the letters of recommendation over anything, because you can have all these achievements that you've met, and some achievements probably do say something to your character of work ethic. But if you hire someone based on their achievements, and then they get to your work, and they have the worst attitude, or they step on everyone's toes to get to have their own success, you're going to regret it. So that's my own excuse of just hoping that my letters of recommendation are good enough to get me into school. And then when people do succeed, they work hard, they dedicate their lives to making these achievements. There's awards for those people. They don't give the Nobel Prize to people who are just all around good people. No, they give it to people who have made discoveries that change the world. So we see some high achievers in the Bible, and most of these people, they don't have God in mind. They have their own goals and their own motivations behind their actions. Some of the first people we see are the Tower of Babel builders in Genesis 11. They didn't share the same goals as God of filling the earth. Instead, they wanted to make a name for themselves. They wanted to make a great name. They wanted to achieve heaven with their own hands. And they were punished because of that. They were separated and God took control. Saul had his own motives in Acts 26 when he's given his account of what he did to the Christians before being shown the light. He thought he was in the right. He was trying to be the best Pharisee he could be and really going into that leadership role as a Pharisee. And so he was fully committed to making that achievement and doing whatever he had to do to get there, even if it was persecuting Christians. And then one story that I think definitely applies is in Luke chapter 18, the rich young ruler. Luke 18, verse 18. And a ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, one thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. He was trying to get validation for the achievements that he had made from following the law, from maybe doing what he was supposed to be doing as a Jew. But Jesus challenges him, and he challenges him by asking about his character, knowing that he was a rich man, knowing that it would take good character to give up all that you had and to follow Christ. And this ruler couldn't overcome his obsession with achievements, and even his achievements in doing good things, he let cloud his character. And the self-righteous Pharisee, also in Luke 18, I bet this Pharisee is probably mad that he gets talked about in so many sermons, but he's just such a good example of how not to act. But this guy, he was boasting about his achievements. He was so proud of not being like other people or giving tithes, and he let his character go out the window because he was so proud of what his achievements were. In contrast, though, God's people seek to strengthen their character. In Proverbs 22, verse 1, Solomon had the wisdom to know these things, but sometimes saying it is harder than following it. Proverbs 22, verse 1, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver and gold. We are supposed to be chasing a name that God would be proud of, or chasing character to glorify God, not riches or achievements in life. We see character in the qualifications for elders and deacons. If God wanted great worldly men to lead his people, I think the churches would have ended up in a very different state than they did. He doesn't ask for men who are great leaders at their work or who accomplished high things in school or accomplished high things in life. He wants people that are humble at heart and who have good character to lead and to guide his people. And the character, kind of that, I guess a definition of this character that we are seeking is the relationship that we have with the identity that we understand about ourselves and the relationship we have with God and with others, and all of that combined onto how we act and how our contributions to those around us are. And then, so some of those that we can see that we're supposed to follow is in Titus 2. Titus 2, verse 1. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, and to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may not be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. God is seeking the characteristics of people who are humble, who are self-controlled, who understand their relationship with God, and do not seek their own aspirations, but are chasing God's. And along with that, as one body in Christ, we can't be displaying bad character and expect function in this church, in this one body. Our relationship with each other has to be strong and has to be encouraging and building up and following things that God has given us, because it separates us from the world. While people are chasing a career or anything that they want to chase, we have to be different from that. We have to be chasing something else. We have to be chasing God and what He wants. And the fruits of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit listed in Galatians aren't ones of physical or knowledgeable or physical feats, but they're of the heart. And they're of a humble character. In verse 24 of Galatians 5, it says that we must crucify the flesh, as it's talking about the sins of the flesh just before the fruits of the Spirit. We have to get rid of those obsessions with an achievement or with worldly things. And while there is a balance of, yes, we are commanded to provide for our families, we can't get so involved that we lose sight of what really matters. I guess to the extreme, you could think of the powerhouses like Bill Gates or Bezos or whoever. Those guys didn't get to where they are just with in mind that they needed to provide for their family. They most certainly had some other motives to get them that high up and their worldly success that weren't probably good character traits. And also with the fruits of the Spirit, we are to have a well-rounded character. We're not supposed to be a one-fruit-producing tree from the Spirit, but instead practicing all of those fruits and reflecting on ourselves and seeing where we need to build up, where we need to focus on so that we can be producing from what the Spirit has given us. Some examples of the good characters who seek to be following God. And just before the Tower of Babel, Noah is also in amongst a time where people are just trying to do their own things. But he sticks to what God wants. He finds favor in God's eyes. And because of that, because of his good character, God uses him to accomplish a great thing, to take out the wickedness of the world and to save the good. But it was only because of Noah's good character that God works this way. In Joseph, we see the same kind of thing, where he understands the things that he had to go through. And he didn't complain about it, but he remained faithful. He trusted in the Lord, and he persevered, and he continued to stand up for what was right. And because of those character traits that Joseph had, God worked through him to get to high places in the world at that time. And instead of boasting in it, Joseph gave gratitude to God. And in chapter 50, verse 20, he told his brothers not to worry about all the bad things he's done, because God was working through all of that, through him, to accomplish what they ended up with in being in Egypt. Esther also was in a high position of power or status, and she could have let it get to her head. She could have wanted to achieve more and to abuse her power, but she, with her kind heart, she was motivated to trust God and to give glory to God by remembering her people and to help save her people. And then Paul's change of character, and we see that through his endurance, through the trials that he went through the thorn that he had in his flesh. Let's go ahead and read 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians 12, verse 7. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, for when I am weak, then I am strong. He endured through and accepted his weaknesses, and it changed who he boasted in. Instead of boasting in himself because of all the great works he was accomplishing, spreading the word, the church is being built, he instead boasted in God because of his weaknesses. He understood that God works through weakness to show his glory. Satan plays a part in the world's striving for achievements, for greatness. He wants us to be, he wants us to achieve great things in the world and to be super successful and have great riches. That's probably where exactly where he wants us to be, so that he can use that to make us boastful and make us forget about God, which happened to King Uzziah, his lack of humility. He started off good. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Verse 16. Previous to this, Uzziah found favor in God's eyes. He was a good king, and he tore down idols, and he was doing good things for the people to help them get them back to God. But with that success, verse 16, but when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction. For he was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. But Azariah the priest went in after him with 80 priests of the Lord who were men of valor. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, it is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Go out from the sanctuary, for you have done wrong, and it will bring you no honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was angry. Now he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And when he became angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead in the presence of the priest in the house of the Lord by the altar of incense. So Uzziah was kind of on a roll. He was doing all these great things, and he thought to himself probably that, yeah, I'm holy enough to go do this. And he steps out of line because of his pride and because of the achievements that God had given him. He boasts in them and stumbles because of it. King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4, after acquiring and building a great empire, he also gets boastful. Verse 29, all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking on the roof of the royal place of Babylon. And the king answered and said, is not this great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty? While the words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and you shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and the 7 periods of time shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will. So Nebuchadnezzar, he saw all that had gone on before him while he was in power and accredited it to himself. And all these achievements were too much for him to thank God for. He thanked himself and he paid for that. Satan even tries to tempt Jesus with achievements. Luke chapter 4. And Jesus, already knowing what Satan was up to, he could have, I mean, any one of us, if the world was offered to us, if we bowed down, there's a saying, maybe in Hollywood, I guess, or in media, that says this person, so-and-so, usually a celebrity, sold his soul for the devil, meaning that they basically got rid of their character to have fame in some way or another. And so a lot of times they do shady stuff. I don't know what goes on in Hollywood, but they give up their identity, any identity they wish they had. Well, they're no longer able to do that, and they're under someone's hold in order to get this fame. And so Satan's kind of doing that. He's trying to get Jesus to bow down to him and sell himself to Satan, and then if he does that, he'll give him the world, this great achievement. But Jesus obviously goes against the devil's wishes and tells him what God wants, and kind of is disappointed in Satan. Satan should know better the God's power and how he should not be testing God. So how do we build character? We say that a lot when we're going through a trial. We say, oh, it's character building. It builds character. But how do we do that when we're following God? As Dan read from us in Romans, we endure. We have to endure, because if we don't, we're going to fall to whatever trials we're going through, and we'll choose the easy way out. And our character suffers from that. It shows a lack of character. But I was thinking practically, because we know we'll have trials that we have to endure. We know that we have to seek God's word on how we get through those trials to help us endure. But I was thinking practically, how can I choose a character that I want to start building in myself? And how do I do that practically? Well, I just Googled how to build your career. And first thing that popped up was like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 steps. I loved it. Like, that's easy. I can follow that. And it sort of works. Make a plan. Everyone can reflect on themselves and see their own character. And if you can't get help, ask people around you, hey, can you tell me what type of person I am? Like, what do people see? Because you may think you are acting one way, but the people around you see you as another. And so I think it's important to have conversations with people who understand you or are close to you, and to ask them if they see something in you that you don't see in yourself. And then once you find those reflections, start to make a plan. How can I fix this, or how can I change to make my character better, or to add this new characteristic to me that will make me a better servant for God? Next is build a network, and that kind of goes along with what I just said, that we need people to not only tell us maybe what kind of character we have, but to look to when we see characters that we admire. There's many characteristics from people here that I admire, and so I should be coming to you and having a conversation with you, asking you, how is it that you have this character? What have you gone through? What did you do to be acting this way in this situation? And I was a little worried last week when Colby was giving his sermon and he started talking about giving up your life to follow God's. And I thought he was going to start to infringe on my lesson, thought I'd have to change it. But someone that I do admire is Wayne, and his giving up of his career to choose to serve God. So we need to find people that we admire and to not only thank them, but to ask them how they can help us. Market yourself. This one's kind of got a lot of secular language, but we have to make ourselves available. You're not going to build your character by hiding under a rock. You have to be shining your light. You have to be enduring trials that God puts before us so that we can strengthen our character. After we see and reflect on what maybe we need to work on, then when we get to those trials, we can go back to our plan. What do I need to do when I'm in this trial? Learning skills. When you're seeking achievement or seeking a career, maybe you go to school, you take a training course, you dedicate time to figure out how to reach this achievement. And we should be doing the same way. We have something we can study, and we have prayer with God. We have other people around us to help us build those skills to be better, have a better character. And then transferring skills to support you. What are you strong in now? What type of characteristics do you have that can help you with other characteristics? We don't have to worry about achieving great accomplishments or achievements, because Jesus accomplished the greatest achievement. He came down with a purpose, and he achieved it better than anyone's ever achieved anything. And because of that, we don't have to set ourselves up for success. We don't have to go chasing worldly things that we think will save us. Instead, we just follow Christ. So in Mark 8, verse 34, and calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in glory of his Father with the holy angels." Jesus made He made the achievement. He achieved victory over death. And while we don't apply to heaven, Jesus is going to write our letter of recommendation. He knows our character, even if others don't. Even if you don't, he still knows your character. So what is he going to say about you? What is he going to tell God about you? Proverbs 22:1 said, "To make a name rather than riches." Well, we're not trying to make a name for ourselves. A lot of people, especially young athletes, when they're interviewed and the interviewee is asking them, "What is your goals in your career?" And they say, "I want to make a name for myself," or "I want to be this great person. I want to be as good as so-and-so." People in the world tend to want to make a name for themselves or to be somebody. But we're supposed to be making a name for God. And that requires the opposite of what the world wants. That requires us to be humble and to seek after God's glory instead of our own. So if you have things that you need to change to make you or to give you better character, if you need to change your life and to come to Christ, we invite you now as we stand and sing.